You're listening to the Hockey Podcast Network. New shows every day. Find us at thehockeypodcastnetwork.com or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Everybody, welcome to episode 237, I think, of Red Wings Rant. We're tirades and impassioned pleas for Yeller. Detroit Red Wings finally have a home. Mike, we've got some more draft prospects to talk about. Mike, you wanted to do, you wanted to decide which of the Stanley Cup favorites we'd like to emulate. And then we've just got some good old Red Wing news.
Oh, breaking news!
So, Mike, I have some tech friends at work that told me I have to go right up to the mic, and I need to do this more professionally. So, we're gonna try that tonight. So, if it's too loud, which is always my fear, everybody just chime in and say Matt, icky. But yeah, like we're gonna try this out. Because we're trying to avoid having to buy new microphones. And they said, you're probably just too far away from your microphone. So give that a shot.
Matt, as a fan of ASMR videos, this is starting off really well.
All right. We've got Jared Ward. We've got Ketzel. We've got Chewy Performance Art. Jared's going in hot. This draft got me feeling old. I was a high school senior when Nazar was born. Heard somebody today shaming folks for saying Nazar or Nazare. Nazar. That's right. Some of our YouTube brethren were shaming folks. I shame not, but I'm just going to sit here and say Nazar because that guy was super mean.
I do, Jared, I have this other weird feeling. Like, when I was little, I used to, like, gauge how much better at sports you were than somebody based on their age. Like, man, I'm better than you. I'm already 8 years old. You're only four. And now it's like, man, Nazar, he's, like, 18, and I'm not quite double that, but quite a few years more. Man, I'm so much better than hockey than him. But, it's all a delusion, of course, and just wondered if I was the only one who had that stupid thought about me being better because of the age.
Well, Ketzel was 12 at that time. Chewy, what's going on? Performance Art, what's going on?
What's up?
Jared's like Matt behind the mic makes me think of Wilson from Home Improvement. All right. Now, Ketzel throws out their nickname. For Nazar, I gotta get that right. Nazar, and I believe we'd pronounce
the laser.
The laser.
This is like on The Office when they brought in Saber, but they thought it was pronounced Sabre. Sabre Saber.
Yeah, exactly. Sabre.
Yeah.
What's up, Timmy's aboard? He says sorry, he hasn't been here around. Been around in a bit. Rough season, but looking forward to next year. Have a good off season. Oh, Timmy, are you just bouncing?
One and done. I just drop a comment and I go.
Jared throws out there laser. So we're gonna call him Nazar. Laser. Oh, that's what that is. Oh, good call. Have you watched the new Mike Myers show on Netflix?
I watched the trailer and I was like, oh man, this is the sizzle reel. Woo! And I kept on stepping.
There's a pretty good scene in episode two where my wife and I looked at each other and we said, that is Mike Myers. That is a Mike Myers television show to a T. Like, he's a big fan of the poo-poo pee-pee jokes, and he went pretty hard at the beginning of episode two.
So if I'm the target audience for pee-pee poo-poo, so I'm very excited to watch episode two now. Do I need to watch episode one?
Just watch like the first 5 minutes of episode two. It was really good. It was a good bit. It wasn't anything where it's like, oh, now this show can carry itself
Now it's cooking.
Now we got a full season. It was one like genius bit, like the kind of bit that was so good that Mike Myers thought of it a couple years ago, and he said, "How am I going to get this on TV?"
He wrote a whole show just for this.
I'll call Netflix and write a whole show. Performance Art wants to know if we signed Trotz yet. Nope. We did. We could get these out of the way. Let's get this.
You want to get the Red Wing signings out of the way?
Taco signed. Taro Hirose, of course. Well, that was actually, Mike, that was a sticking point. Not one that we were like really struggling to figure out, you know, what to do with this. But we brought it up a ton during the season because that was one of our boys that we knew needed a contract. I call him one of our boys, but also I'd like to say this is great for Hirose. I mean, in the grand scheme of things for the Red Wings, this isn't the signing that pushes you into relevancy. So great for Hirose. Oh, that's my summary of this signing.
Am I dating myself if I make a Chappelle Show reference?
Hey, I think
Calvin got a job. Good for you, young blood. Good for you. Hirose got a job. Good for you, young blood. Good for you.
I mean, this is all good for Taro. I mean, it's good we have a guy who can jump up on the power play, but I mean, this isn't a signing where I was like, all right, 82 games coming up for Hirose. You know, it's we'll see. Good for Hirose. Also signed Stephen Kampfer. Anybody? Stephen Kampfer, anyone?
Stephen Kampfer. I know he played for Team USA based on that photo.
Sorry, this is where we're going to test. This is where we're going to test Mike or Matt's direction. I don't even know my own name. Matt's direction on where to put his face for these recordings. Right up
He's also famous for shooting his Schwanz off in the movie 8 Mile, because I think that's also Cheddar Bob. So very excited for Stephen Cheddar Bob Kampfer to join the Red Wings here.
4 years, University of Michigan, Mike, from Jackson, Michigan himself. Everybody, you'd be very happy to learn, Jared. He was born September 24th, 1988. So he's an old fart like us. So, yeah, we're talking to 33-year-old D-man.
Yeah. A little Crash Davis action, huh?
I feel like sort of the grade we gave for the Taro Hirose signing. Not quite as damning. I mean, I would say Hirose's. Like, this could mean a lot if this is a contract that affects our upcoming season. I'm not predicting it will. I'm just saying, Mike, if Mr. Stephen Kampfer is to affect the 2022-23 season by a great degree, Connor Bedard is in our future. It's just one of those things. You got to throw it out there, right? Like,
hey, you know what? The world needs teachers, and it needs substitute teachers as well. So, Stephen, welcome aboard.
we got that job out of the way. Yeah.
Somebody's got to hit play on the DVD for the science class, right?
Timmy let us know he's headed off to dinner. He saw we went live. He just wanted to say hello. Timmy, I appreciate that. Gosh darn it.
I appreciate you telling the significant other. Now, hold on. I got a comment to leave here on the YouTube. Hold on.
Performance Art also headed out once he learned that we didn't sign Trotz yet. So see you later, Performance Art. I hope you have a good one. He'll be gone till November.
Wow. I'm writing that down, and I'm saving that receipt because he's going to come back when we sign my buddy in Nashville.
If.
When?
When did this become a when for you? Let's break this
down. I don't know.
No?
I don't know. We're going to talk about it in a minute.
I didn't know.
I had my insiders. No, I don't. We don't have any information.
Murdoch wants to know, did I hear correctly that Trotz is giving us an interview? I didn't hear anything. I got to say, Mike, nothing?
I don't know if that's a joke. I mean, we would be giving him the interview. I I mean, I know he's got his, you know, his cup with Ovechkin, but I don't know if the name still necessarily has, you know, that kind of panache that it's, you know, he's only going to entertain a few teams. Is that really the case?
I mean, does he really want to rebuild? Right?
Can I say? Can I say too that like the bigger name is still Yzerman
over Trotz?
Yeah, I mean, Yzerman's baby is 4 wins away from playing for its 3rd Stanley Cup in a row. Is it 3rd or 4th? I can't remember if they lost one the year before. But I mean, Steve Yzerman's baby, his brainchild, dominated Florida, and now he's got another one over here. So I feel like the Yzerman name is kind of you want to go coach for him. You know what I mean?
That was so this would be 3 years in a row. The year before that, they were ousted in the first round, I think, to the Blue Jackets. Ketzel's review of camp for signing. Another blue line, Grandpa. I mean, look, we're not trying to be mean here. It's just, you know, I think some people on Twitter always get a little excited for when anybody gets signed. Don't have to get too excited about this one. Tristan, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on, dude?
Oh, Chewy might have nailed it here. Just a good old Danny DeKeyser replacement. And Jared says, does his knee hurt too? We're just trying to give the trainers good practice here. This is what this is all about. Once we're ready to go for a cup, we need trainers that have worked on old knees. So we'll see how that goes. All right, not a great joke, but I don't know. We have some other... I don't know. We can get this one out of the way too. Mike, the IIHF Worlds, we got some pretty good performances so far. I still say I don't need Mo Sider at this tournament at all. I'm good. We know who Sider is. The less hockey Sider plays around the world that isn't wearing a winged wheel, the better. But he's still doing pretty good. Gold, 5 assists. He's +5. Mike, arguably better tournament so far. Pius Suter, 3 goals, 5 assists. Doesn't hurt. Pius, play more, practice more, get some competition in there as much as you can. Sider, we're good. Sider, never again.
No, I know what you're getting at, but I guess when you think of like international play, I feel like you always think of like the Olympics, and I feel like the Americans cheat because we just have all like the best people from all over the world, and then they, you know, become U.S. citizens. And then Canada just, you know, usually dominates every year. So I kind of get Sider wanting to, you know, put Germany on the map and be like, no, we're up there too. And for him to kind of be the, like, ambassador of German hockey, I think is kind of cool. Like, for him to be that good that we pay attention to German hockey. So good for him.
I mean, I guess I get your point. Selfishly, I just, there's a lot of excitement surrounding his performance. And I just, I'm like, no, I get it. Like, he's really good. I just don't want to find out he was so good. He laid out to block a shot. And now I'm going to be without Mo Sider for like the first few months of the season.
I mean, have you ever shot a hockey puck as hard as you can at a mountain? Did it seem like the mountain took any damage?
Look,
because it's the same thing with Sider.
Some rocks will fall. You ever seen an avalanche?
Yeah, the mountain was fine, Matt.
Yeah, the full mountain is fine. I don't expect him to die, but you could chip away at it.
He can shrug off a little dirt. He'll be fine.
Hronek, Mike, a +1. Woo! Riley Barber, Mike, a goal and a +2. Maybe Riley Barber being on the U.S. team might sort of hint what this tournament's all about.
have we done any deep investigating into that Hronek +1? Like, was he on a shift where they scored a goal and he just said, you know what, coach, I got an aching ailment here. I think I'm going to sit the rest of this one out just so we could leave with that +1.
I think you absolutely nailed it. No, I have no idea.
I just assumed that's what happened. Okay.
Yeah,
but I think the biggest name here, Matt, is the coolest name, Mr. Magnus.
Yeah.
The Hellberg himself. Yep.
Four wins and a shutout. Now, I will confess, I heard from a completely different source that he only played one game, but the Detroit Red Wings tweeted out he played, he's got four wins and a shutout. So according to the Detroit Red Wings, so I'm just going to say that I have not watched any of this tournament, but Magnus Hellberg having a hell of a time at the Worlds.
You know what?
I love it.
You know what? You can't be upset at the Red Wings. I mean, back in the 90s, WCW would pad the win-loss record of Bill Goldberg. So you know what? If Magnus Hellberg's going to come back to the Griffins next year with like 78,000 wins, God bless him. You know, I'm not going to be upset. I don't need him to be real wins. I'm not going to question it. I'm not going to look for the highlights. I just assume it's real.
Well, let's go back to Murdoch for a second. He said he heard that there were five teams that Trotz was going to interview with. I would assume from my perspective, if the Red Wings wanted him, I think he'd come over and interview. I think the only things I've heard in regards to Trotz would just be which teams have vacancies and who would want them. And I just kind of been reading the pluses and minuses for each one of those teams. I don't know if anything's been put in place or if anybody scheduled anything. I think there's also an element too, like you want to see how all of these teams play out. I mean, what if Carolina was just so sick of having a great possession team every year and they're just like, you know what, Rod, get out of here. Cause I would be all over Rod Brindamore. So it's one of those things where I would hold off in case there's a huge move by one of these teams that's going pretty deep in the playoffs. So maybe a possibility that one's true, but also a strong possibility since he just signed, what, like a 4 or 5 year deal last season that they feel pretty good about Rod and their chances of winning with him moving forward.
Right. No, and I don't want Murdoch to think, you know, I was crucifying you for that statement. What I honestly thought, you know, happened was, you know, that Trotz, you know, being a guy who's won a cup, that he's only going to entertain a few other teams. So I didn't think that you were, you know, saying it funky or anything like that. I just assumed that's what Trotz was doing. I mean, this is still a pretty cool job to work for Yzerman, I gotta think. And you got a pretty cool, you know, highly talented pipeline of young kids coming up that you get to kind of mold into your, you know, a little project, and you get to be there when the Red Wings turn it around. So I think it's pretty enviable spot. So, I'm on the coattails, absolutely with you. If the Red Wings want them, I think they could get them, but I still don't believe that's what they're going to do. I think they're going for somebody in the SHL. We don't necessarily have to take a deep dive into that because we did that a couple episodes ago, but go ahead.
Ketzel throwing out there, back to my point on Bo Sider. Legitimately screamed when he saw Verona take a hit to the knee.
Yes! Now, with everything I said about Sider, he's a man mountain, so I'm not worried about him. But Verona, no, he should be in a plastic bubble until the next season starts.
Tristan throwing out there, last time Aronic was a plus one. I think it was before Pittsburgh.
That's a good one. I like that one.
Jared's on board. Mike, how about this? Murdoch watching WCW Nitro.
Hey, my dude! Yeah! Dude, Nitros and then Royal Rumbles. Those are my two addictions on Peacock. Yeah, absolutely love those.
Yeah, and then Tristan threw out earlier, Magnus should definitely be starting in the AHL. Chewy thrown out there. Could be number three goalie, as well as starter in Grand Rapids.
Yeah, you guys, I think we're totally on board with you. I don't understand why he didn't get even a cup of coffee in Detroit. That was weird.
Charlie thrown out there, goalies are funny. GM has a Frogger, he corrected himself, type search going. Now, Charlie, I feel like I gotta break this down a little bit. Are you saying because we're flopping around that we're bouncing back and forth with different options? Mike, any interpretation of the Frogger type search? Am I missing something? Sometimes I feel like I throw these out to you and you know right away.
They are intrinsically funny. Goalie man has a fun Frogger type search going. No, I don't know what he's saying. Charlie, it might be a probably just an edit or something, right? Or we're just so old, we just don't understand what you're saying.
This could be, Charlie, if you're talking about, like, getting excited about goaltenders or, like, targeting one. Sometimes doesn't go the right way because goalies are so finicky. Like, I definitely have been preaching that for a while.
Yeah, there's definitely a bipolar element to it where you feel like, hey, we found lightning in a bottle. And then the second half of the season starts and they crap the bed for like 30 games, you know.
Right.
So
Ketzel throwing out there, Georgiev could be a fun reach. Are we, I don't know, what were we talking about? Because he says fun reach too. Did I miss something else?
Oh, I don't know, but yeah. Did we butcher Magnus?
No.
Is this in his initials, MG?
Oh, are you talking about? Are you going back to GM? No, he's talking about. Charlie was talking about GMs. I'm pretty sure.
They'll figure it out. They'll take
something else.
Yeah,
Ketzel's talking about going after someone else. I just didn't know if he was talking about if this was going in line with the Hellberg conversation, just because we're talking about different goaltenders. But yeah, all right, we're all over the place. I'm asking too many questions about the comments. We have some other stuff we want to talk about. Ketzel, you just let me know if you just meant let's go after him. Let's see what happens there. I have no problem with that. Hockey fans, feel the action on the ice like never before with DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. Right now, new customers can bet just $1 on any team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still hit the ice for cold hard cash. New customers can make their first deposit and play free for thousands with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Hockey Contest. Draft your lineup for 8 skaters and a goalie and rack up points for goals, assists, saves, and more. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable. Best of all, you can deposit, withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code THPN. Bet just $1 on any NHL team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. That's code THPN at DraftKings Sportsbook, the official sports betting partner of the NHL. 21 and over. Restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Mike, our title of the show. Should the Red Wings draft Frank again, Nazar? Mike, Little Caesars alumni from Mount Clemens, hey. 5'10" center, 174 pounds, shoots from the right side. Mike, we can finally get rid of Sam Gagne. as Jared was mentioning earlier, January 14th, 2004, he's an 18-year-old draft prospect. Mike, he's a center. I'm good with it. Frank Nazar could come aboard, but we can get into some of the details here. I'm going to roll. Why don't we roll some of the highlights that we've gotten? Let me throw these stats out there before we get too far away. Let's not forget, going to play for Michigan next season. We know how well that program's doing.
Yes.
USNTDP juniors, 35 points in 24 games. He loves like to split up these stats. 15 goals and 20 assists. Looks pretty good. Played himself 56 games, 28 goals and 42 assists, 70 points. Mike, that's the U.S. national U18 team. It's pretty goddamn consistent this season to go 24 games, 35 points, pretty much doubles that and goes for 70 points. Me likey. That's just our points perspective.
And I mean, it's kind of like I don't want to pat ourselves on the back too much because we're coming from Michigan, but being recruited to play hockey at Michigan, I mean, at this point, it's like playing college football for Alabama. Like, it's, you're being recruited because you're an A-plus dude. So for him to go play there, it's, I think, a really, really nice mark on the resume.
Yeah, that's actually a really great point. I mean, anybody that's getting picked up by that program, you got to be excited about, because it's one of those things with those programs that are having that type of success, and we're talking like any college sport, you get a lot of pressure to continue that success. So you're going to be doing the extra scouting. You're going to be taking the extra time to find the guy that's not only going to fit well what's going to take your club to that next level so you can continue to, for, you know, of course, in the NCAA for hockey, you want to get to that Frozen Four year after year. What we see, though, and we have some highlights running, and if we see some good ones here, I think I'll stop them. But what you see from Nazar is going to be a guy who I think has a pretty good head on his shoulders. I think, you know, right now, I actually think we're going through some highlights that are showing some of his weaknesses, to be completely honest. I think he actually picked the wrong guy to go after, but then he recovers. So we're talking about a guy who immediately comes back around and after maybe making the wrong choice, gets himself in the right position to make this play here. So Nazar's about to catch the puck here right before coming over the zone. And he's going to set up a touch pass, or I'm sorry, a touch shot. Pretty much a tip here on his line mate, Isaac Howard, who the two of them played pretty well together in a Worlds tournament. This highlight, I think, is coming back from April. But this is a guy, and we'll repeat this highlight in a second here. But this is a guy, like I just talked about, you see him make a mistake, and I like that immediately this doesn't get him down. This is something where he's looking to make the next play to fix things. And I don't think it's just about fixing it. I think it's about he's got those instincts so ingrained in his head. And a lot of the things that you can see in the Nazar highlights are all going to be about just these right choices of him being in the right spot, or when he's playing the wall, it's the right decision to play on the wall. But in that scenario, his instinct is just to turn right around, get the play going the other way, and it's a right there scoring chance, right about hitting the back of the net. And that's right after making a bonehead play on defense. I think those things can be cleaned up no problem. I think the idea that you make the bad play, but you can immediately turn around and make a good offensive play, that is not what you can teach. That is something that's just like, that's the human of Frank. But he was on the defensive side. He was in a pretty good position is what we saw. I think he just picked the wrong guy at the wrong time. I think that could be fixed. But again, that mentality of just going, boom, made a mistake, shut that off, turn around. Instinct, go for offense, love it. And I guess we can't stop championing it enough to get that center as well. But yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, no, if they don't draft a center, you know, their first pick this year, I don't know what we're doing here, guys. But we talk so much about Lambert having one super duper elite skill, and that's his skating. He's got pluses on the map, but it's the skating that you're drafting. With the laser, Nazar, Frank, I don't think you're getting, you know, that level of skating, because that's probably the best skater available. But so many of the highlights, again, to kind of be on the coattails here, it's from the center position, it looks like the kind of mental plays, like the mental chess that somebody like Seider plays, where it feels like he kind of has that special awareness of not only where, you know, the defenders are on the ice, but where his teammates are going to be coming from to be in a good spot. So it does look like he makes a lot of really smart plays, and he kind of, I don't know what kind of voodoo magic he's using, but it definitely feels like he, you know, knows where his guys are, and he knows how to take 2 to 3 defenders, you know, with him, strategically cutting at certain points of the ice, going, you know, up the boards and then up the middle, and then making a play for a teammate. So, you know, very easy to see where he fits on the Red Wings, because bless our development system, we don't quite have all the centers that we need. That's why we're making it such either free agency, trade, or draft, picking up that position. But, I mean, you could easily see where he could, you know, have that familiarity at some point with like a Verana, obviously depending on his development, Verana sticking around, and making plays for that guy who has such a wicked shot. I think that would be for me, if the Red Wings do pick Frank the Tank, the laser, it would mean that they do prioritize, you know, playmaking at that position. But yeah, it's gonna be tough for him. Obviously, he's still a really young guy. You know, all ribs about you and I aside. But because he's so young, he's small, right? He's under 6 foot. I don't know if he's got a height growth spurt coming, but one thing he does have in his control is bulk. And coming in at $174, you know, he can obviously find some, you know, weight training within the Red Wing system, you know, add some muscle to the frame. And yeah, it's totally feasible. He's still a really young guy. He's still growing. So yeah, I think if you want playmaking, this is the guy you're looking at with the Red Wings first pick.
Well, I mean, I want to hit the comments here in a second, but I also have a pretty nice play that I kind of want to show off too. That shows off his playmaking, but that nice head that's screwed on. Murdoch's on board. Center that shoots right. I like it. Chewy, like the Michigan kid, right hand shot and a center. Sounds good to me. And a Wolverine. Antonio, if he's still available, yes, go for it. Now, Ketzel and Jared here trying to figure out his career faceoff percentage. I don't have that, Mike. I don't know if you want to see if you can find that real quick, but let's go over this replay, because this is the type of thing that this is just going to be an all around Nazar why you draft him. Now he's set up. Now this to me, if you guys can see this right now, of course, anybody listening to the podcast is missing it. We're looking at a Nazar that's standing straight up, but I believe this to be a bit of a game of chicken, because you see this a couple of times. You do want to see, you know, some of these kids, you want to see them a little bit more engaged. This is one guy in the offensive zone, so I think Nazar is okay. When we hit play here, you can see he was covering that passing lane the whole time. And just his positioning and his ability to sniff out where that play was going leads to this, where Nazar drives to the center of the ice to allow his winger on the bottom here to come up into the play. And this immediately becomes a 3-on-2. And Mike, you were talking about his size, but this is clearly could become the more physical play moving forward. Now, he does get lucky that the defense backs up, right? Like, they're going to play this. This is a 3-on-2. But that choice to go center, he's ready to get physical. So he's a little guy, but he's ready to get physical. Now, Nazar takes it in, finds his boy Howard, boom, back of the net. Actually, he's on that second shot there. But it's just such a great mind of his to set this up to make sure it's a 3-on-2 so that he can get this in play. If that wasn't the 3-on-2, you don't get the confusion from the defenseman. You don't get that second shot from Howard where he does put it in the back of the net. Howard gets the goal. That is 1,000%, even starting from the defensive zone. Nazar. And again, it's not – you'll see some of these guys, Mike. Like, we'll see highlights for some of the guys in Europe. And what you see is just over and over, these guys taking the puck in the offensive zone. They're just spinning in circles. And you're like, well, yeah, that's great. They're great at puck handling. But that's not how the game's going to work. Once you get over into the NHL, you're not going to have all this time to just keep going in circles, trying to find a play.
Yeah.
This, Mike, is very NHL. This is getting things moving on the rush. This was him getting in those passing lanes, playing the game the way we're going to see it played in the NHL. And again, this is about him making these right choices, where even though we mentioned he's 5'10", he's going to go in the center of the ice to possibly get more physical. But when he does that, he's making space for these guys. And that space created the goal. It created the second chance for Howard, because Nazar has that head screwed on tight. So we talked about just a week ago, Brad Lambert. We talked about the high skill. We talked about how he was probably one of the best skaters in the draft. Things you can't teach. More things you can't teach coming from Frank. He seems to have a really solid, he's going to have a really solid hockey sense base to start with, to build with, that I think any coach is going to love to play around with. And I think I saw earlier this week that he's getting Dylan Larkin comparisons, and I don't know. Sometimes I don't know if you want to build up two lines and have two centers that come off with an identical set of, you know, skills. But I will say I see a different guy that now Larkin is physical, but I wonder if we think speed first with Larkin. And I'm just seeing some decision making here that doesn't necessarily rely on speed. It relies on this mindset of making room for the guys around me, and I'll get physical if I have to, even though I'm a smaller guy. So I don't know. Larkin does that, right? Like, he makes room for his boys so that, you know, Lucas Raymond can get a good shot off. Bertuzzi can get a good shot off. But I just, it's hard for me to just look at Nazar right now, and I don't necessarily see the exact same game as Dylan Larkin. But it's certainly, like, they both have that mentality of making things work for the rest of the team around them. So that's not necessarily something to poo-poo. But I think if it was the exact same play style, I don't know. To me, I like to differentiate, right? Like, you get that out of the Tampa Bay Lightning. You're looking at two centers on the Lightning of Stamkos and Braden Point, who's hurt now. But you're looking at guys that play the game differently. And I think that's good. You got to mix it up for your opponent.
Yeah, and just too with Nazar. He's also a very good skater. Just Lambert is probably the best. As far as that question about the faceoff percentage, really tough, because most of the statistics that, you know, they want to publish are related to goals, assists, and then, you know, like a very hollow plus minus, or I don't know why we give a hoot. The way it's touted, like, why penalty minutes are still like, oh, and he had a 20 minutes this season. Like, oh, wow, he's really doing well for himself.
Right.
But on the one statistic I could find, they wouldn't like break it down game by game. But they did say that for the most part, he was over 50% on his faceoff percentage. A few games of 60, and I think they said only maybe one or two in the 40s. So, you know, against that, against his peers, he's been, you know, above 50% for the most part. So, kind of take what you can from that, but yeah, looks like something positive.
We do have, if anybody was questioning the physicality of Nazar, I am just kind of rolling through these highlights and looking for some good ones here. But eventually, we're going to see this play set up where Nazar has a couple of options, right? We've already been talking about Isaac Howard. And how about I pull up the replay? We've already been talking about Isaac Howard a little bit here. And this is where Nazar, I think, has the choice. I think we've already got three defensemen for Canada that are, they know what's going on. Like, I think this game finished and Isaac Howard had four goals. So Frank's going to come in and they know, like, we got to play this line physical. If Frank's got his boy right behind him, number three, Isaac Howard, why not just pass it backwards? But as we move forward here, we're going to see as an option to go behind the net. This is where the physicality of his choices comes into play. And this is where Frank just goes straight at the goalie, even though there were three defensemen bearing down. He knew exactly what he wanted to do. Now, a lot of this is getting the speed. He knew that he could get the angle and get around the defenseman. That is very key, something you got to fall in love with. But that decision-making to go flying at the net to try and put another goal in the back is beautiful. I love seeing this. I really like the decision-making I'm seeing out of Frank. And, I mean, we just showed off his skating abilities. I think most of this, though, it's all about that decision-making. Something a kid that age who isn't necessarily just getting around guys by, like, you know, the deeks, or we're doing like the flashy moves right now. I mean, this is just, to me, it's a mix of speed, like we just saw, but it's like maybe 60-40 is just going to be grit, where this guy's just like, all right, head down, let's see what happens. So, Mike, thumbs up for me. I don't know what else we have to dissect here. We'll keep looking at guys that are available in the draft. I think we're just going to keep repeating ourselves if we continue to take a look at these highlights. Because ultimately, you know, I think we'd love to have the number one pick. We'd love to have the number two pick. But I don't think the number eight pick is going to hurt us that much. And I think we're at least seeing you know, two straight weeks here, right? There's going to be things to like, depending on, even if we went with a guy who's falling down the draft and Brad Lambert, who even most recently with a website like Elite Prospects rated him as top skater in the draft. But Nazar, I'm going to say, if you're probably looking for a guy who's going to make a difference a little bit quicker, probably be Frank. I think we were talking last week about like 3 to 4 years development, with Brad.
Yeah.
I mean, the types of things that make Nazar successful, and you talk about, for me at least, is grit and the decision-making, is number two. I think you could put that in play. You could try to put that in play in year one, but yeah, this is going to be a kid who's going to go to the University of Michigan and play a couple seasons probably. So you probably get him one, if not two seasons quicker than you would with Brad. So maybe another winning point to go with Frank. All right.
Yeah.
What else do we have here, Mike? The playoffs.
I know there's not a lot of, you know, for a Red Wing fan, we're just going to be twiddling our thumbs here for another couple seasons until the next rookie of the year in Edmondson, after Sider takes it home this season, you know, comes out and dominates. But I guess the only thing I wanted to mention is, because I know how excited you were for the Florida Panthers, after they loaded up in the offseason, they loaded up at the deadline. I mean, they dominated the league points wise and snuffed. We'll use the word snuffed by the Tampa Bay Lightning here in four games, the only sweep in the semifinal round. And I know that they're playing Tampa, and Tampa just, like, it's playoff time, so they know how to put their heads down, and they're like, you know, they've done this before, they've done it back-to-back, this is a special group. We might, you know, look at this group, you know, in a couple decades, and go, man, Yzerman built the shit out of those Tampa Bay Lightning. Why didn't he ever do it for the Red Wings? I think as a Red Wing fan, it's just kind of interesting to compare those two teams, right? Obviously, we know Yzerman had such a heavy hand in assembling Tampa. But, I mean, you know, from the Kucherovs, the Stamkos, you know, Braden Point, Palat, you know, go down the line, Hedman, Vasilevsky, all these huge cogs in their success, drafted. And it's the slow process. It's the boring process, because you just got to wait and wait and wait for these guys to develop. In Florida, you know, you can't be upset with them because they're trying to put a competitive product together. If you want to look at, you know, trading for a lot of their players, you know, Claude Giroux, the Reinhardts, you know, not as huge of a piece, obviously, but the Hornquists. They signed Bobrovsky.
It's another big one.
Yeah,
I really wanted to pick up. But yeah, go ahead.
No, you know, and if you want to throw Joe Thornton on there, but I guess what I meant is, there's a philosophy that, you know, we're gonna really see what it's like for Yzerman managing these Red Wings, because if he just continues, you know, as he's been doing, I don't foresee any playoffs if they just keep, you know, plugging away with the draft, not next season. And so do you really want to, you know, try that Florida approach and see if you can kind of accelerate this, this build, you know, by dipping into free agency, dipping into, you know, the trade market. So you have to give away valuable assets. You know, that means giving away draft picks. Or, man, do you just keep plugging away and just kind of be patient like Yzerman did before? It's so alluring, you know, to, you know, win the off season, and then all of a sudden you find some center, you know, trade for some center, maybe you know, sign a free agent or two. Do you go the Panther route, which obviously it feels like you shouldn't have done that this season, right? It doesn't feel like it quite panned out, but do you kind of get what I'm getting at? Where you're going to be tested. Your patience is going to be tested as a Red Wing fan, because I don't think they're going to go the Panther route. I think if they sign people or trade for people, it's going to be on the peripheral, cost-effective guys, and you're going to be waiting for draft picks to develop. So I just comparing those two teams, comparing how they've been put together, and they both had, you know, good regular season success, but man, this core assembly, the core assembly philosophy, I think it's what's in our future. And I think a somewhat more boring offseason than people anticipated is in the Red Wing future. Matt, do you agree?
I mean, yeah, you bring up the best point, right? The Tampa Bay Lightning. Yeah, I didn't realize how many of these guys were not drafted for Florida. I mean, I guess I felt it, but looking at this, I mean, you're talking four forwards. Everybody else was brought in through free agency or trades. I mean, two defensemen, and that's it. You got six guys. And I mean, Tampa, what do you have? Who's the best guy? Brandon Hagel, they just brought in. I'm talking about best guy that they traded for. I mean, Corey Perry's playing on the fourth line. Who cares? Patrick Maroon. Again, he's just like, give me those cup teams. That's all I want to do. And now he's going to be a Lightning for life. But yeah, I mean, at the top here, Cooch, Stamkos, Point, Palat, Sorelli, Killorn. Yeah, throw in Ross Colton. He got a special goal. But on the defensive side, a little bit of a different story, right? You've only got Cal Foote and Victor Hedman, so there's definitely a game to be played on both sides. And Iserman, think about that, right? Victor Hedman drafted by the Tampa Bay Lightning. I don't even think he wasn't even drafted by Steve Iserman. So Steve built the defense through trade. So that's interesting. I got to say, there's an element to it where if Steve finds out one side or the other, right, has a deficiency, he'll start to build through trade, but you don't see these huge contracts. Your largest contract by a signed individual coming onto the team, I see $1 million on the forward side, and I see $1.3 million on the defensive side. Everybody else, draft and trade. I think that's huge. How about your goalie just happens to be the best goalie ever, will shut down any game that you have. You come in and you can win the series, Vasilevsky's gonna shut you down. That's incredible. But yeah, I mean, all that stuff thrown together, it definitely paints the picture for what we need to expect from Stevie, and not a huge free agent splash would probably be the first thing on that list. It's not exciting to talk about that, but I mean, who would you rather be? Would you rather be the Florida Panthers or the Tampa Bay Lightning right now? Oversimplifying it to the nth, but
yeah, and it also kind of feels like, you know, the Red Wings will have made it when you're, you know, looking at their cap friendly, and it's, you know, not just Larkin and Bertuzzi, but you're seeing the Lucas Raymonds, the Berggrens, you're seeing the Edvinsons, you know, along with the Siders, the Wallanders, my beloved Elmer Soderblom, if you're seeing my beautiful unicorn up there. It feels like if those guys are all making it, then that's probably a pretty good indication that you know what you're doing as far as talent evaluation goes, instead of, you know, trying to pick up guys who are 29, you know, right about to turn 30, and watch their value and skills start to decline. So I just, watching that series, and again, I don't want to rib you too much. I know you're kind of bummed about Florida, but man, it's it also is kind of bumming me out as a Red Wing fan, because I'm like, man, I I'm used to, you know, my silly NBA where because it's only a 12-man team, it's easy to see how, like, acquiring one or two guys makes a world of difference and suddenly you can be a playoff team. But this is going to be a long game. This is going to be waiting for more draft picks to pan out so you can become Tampa Bay and be a, you know, a real cup contender. So, yeah, the proof's in the pudding there, man. It's going to be another one. For the Lightning.
Oh, another cup.
Certainly looks that way.
Yeah. I'll say I got rid of our little slide here. Looking at who's left, I think it would be really fun at this point. Now that we've seen the Lightning just absolutely destroy the Panthers, I just want to see Avalanche and Lightning in the Cup final.
That would be really cool.
Wouldn't mind seeing Connor McDavid, though. I just think if it was the Lightning versus the Oilers, I feel like it's going to be a four-game series for the Lightning. I think they would easily handle.
Yeah, and the depth is obviously far superior, but I, you know, watching how the NBA gets to market Giannis, market, you know, Luka Doncic, if they could get McDavid out there, God, that would be fantastic. And maybe not get swept by Tampa. Maybe have a few, you know, high scoring affairs where they end, you know, some wild 7-6, you know, 8-7 kind of thing. I think that would be really cool for the NHL. Help get those names out there.
Performance Arts right there with us, with Colorado and Tampa would be an exciting finals. Ketzel says, do you build a cup winner or dynasty?
Tampa's like, ha, both.
Right, that's the performance that's the answer. Was Ketzel, you build both. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. Do you make the choice on that? I think even Florida would argue right now, like, they're not screwed next year.
No, but I think, you know, they were trying to. The Lightning are a dynasty. I mean, the way that they keep those core guys together and they're able to, you know, kind of sell off their third and fourth liners and keep this train going. Where the Panthers, because of the way they've been acquiring players, that felt like, man, let's go get a cup this year. And, you know, it didn't work out. But, I mean, they're going against a team that this, you know, it's so hard to build a dynasty. But, man, the Lightning are on their way to doing it. Incredible stuff.
We did get Shane Berry throughout there. Brothers, your thoughts on Ryan Warsofsky as head coach? I think Ketzel gave a quick answer. He said, I do not want another AHL guy, to be honest. This is just another name to throw in there for me to just talk about, you know, what would all the options be. But, yeah, I mean, I think from a want perspective, I mean, Gronborg is number one on the list. And if it had to be, if we were playing this game where it was just like, you know what, you guys think it's too easy to bring a guy over from the SHL. I think there is a lot to like about Barry Trotz. And I don't know. I mean, we just went through an AHL head coach and someone who's arguably at the time, everybody said, this is it. This is your coach for the future. Like when we picked him up. So I'm not saying that Grunborg is the only option. I just know that's the one I'd be more excited about.
Yeah. Grunborg for me, I'm sticking with my SHL guy, because of the way the Red Wings, talent acquisition, as far as the draft goes, has, you know, leaned so heavily, from that area of the world. I mean, Warsofsky, my God, what a resume, you know, as a 34-year-old head coach, you know, incredible, point percentage, you know, winning division titles kind of thing. I just don't know if this iteration of the Red Wings needs, you know, a 34-year-old guy. You know, we're saying that, you know, months removed from like a Sean McVay winning the Super Bowl, who, you know, also a very young man. But I feel like this team of Red Wings, I feel like they need somebody who's going to kind of scare the kids a little bit.
Yeah. Dad's
there's a lot of kids
aboard.
Coming up. I don't know if they need a peer to try and do that. I don't know if that voice is going to ring as strongly right now for this batch of Red Wings. If he wants to file an ageism suit against me, go ahead. I just don't think that this voice for this young of a team with so many young guys, you know, on the cusp of coming up. I'd want somebody a little more seasoned. That's all. But he's probably going to be awesome.
I mean, when you look at Sean McVay too, winning a Super Bowl. He won a Super Bowl when that team was freaking amazing. Yeah. So are we ready to be freaking amazing?
I don't want to step on your point, but Ketzel makes a great line here where he says we certainly have a feast of choices. Yeah. You could pick a Stanley Cup winner. You could pick a guy with a lot of NHL experience. You could pick the best of the best from the AHL. You could pick the best of the best from the SHL. And I think that kind of ties into what we said earlier about, you know, this Red Wing job is still really, you know, cream of the crop. Steve's really going to have his choice of the litter for sure.
Well, I think it's about time we wrap up. We have a couple more comments, and then we'll sail off into the sunset. Charlie's upset. Tampa will win it. It sucks. Maybe Avs, but no. Performance Art throws out there, problem with McDavid is he has no character. Needs some character to build the game. You need some characters to build the game. I get it. Performance Art's talking about off the ice. Great picture, by the way. You guys want to look it up, McDavid met like a couple of fans at an airport. They're both smiling ear to ear, and McDavid jaw open, staring straight at the camera, no smile, no reaction of any sort. Great picture. I guarantee you guys Google search McDavid airport, you guys will see it. Performance art, that's a great point. I mean, watching like that TNT broadcast and you get Bissonnette in there and you're kind of like, this guy's a hockey player? It's just not how hockey players act. It's pretty crazy that we love the sport so much. But yeah, we fall in love clearly with the sport and we fall in love with guys' performances. But it's pretty rare that we fall in love with them because of the goofy character that they bring to the ice, to any interviews, anything like that. They're pretty docile. Like to keep to themselves. All right. But I did say we were sailing off. Eric Johnson, peace out. Charlie, have a good one.
Thanks for checking in, guys. Appreciate it.
Chewy, Performance Art, Ketzel, Jared, everybody. Shade Barry, thanks for coming along. Thanks for bringing up Warsofsky. I think that was a nice little ditty there to throw at the end of the show. Am I missing anybody? Murdoch, thanks for coming aboard. And we had Timmy earlier and Antonio. Thanks, guys, for coming. Appreciate it. We'll see you guys. I don't know. Mike, I think we might take another weekend off since I've got we had to push back my son's birthday party because he got sick last weekend. Mike, are we going to see you at this birthday party? Should we order pizza for Mike?
I do like a good pizza, but I don't know. We're supposed to go up north. I don't know what's happening.
Well, the sooner
I'm excited to see my little teddy boy because I got a really cool gift for him. I'm excited for him to play with it.
Oh, cool. All right. Guys, we'll see you next week. We're going to take this weekend off. Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend, and then we'll get rolling into more draft coverage, and hopefully we'll have a coach to talk about soon enough, and the Stanley Cup. All right, guys, have a good one.
Peace.